Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. Today on the HR Power Hour, we have a different type of show. We're going to be giving you the sounds from the Maine HR Convention, which was on May 7th through 10th in 2013 at the Samerset Resort in Rockland, Maine. The Maine HR Convention is provided by MaineHR.com, which is New England Law Publishers here in Portland, Maine. They are a proud sponsor of the HR Power Hour, and we wanted to provide HR professionals that are unable to go up to the convention some of the highlights that happened at the convention and that we are able to provide through an audio take that was done by one of our other sponsors of the HR Power Hour, jobsintheus.com. Jeremy Haskell, a guest here on the HR Power Hour, provided audio clips that he took from the actual HR convention as he spoke to business HR leaders and provided contents from the speakers as well as some of the winners of the event that happened there up at the convention. So I am proud to present to you today sounds from the HR conventions. You will hear different clips, which are going to be provided by Jeremy Haskell, the sales manager and business development at jobsintheus.com, will be providing interviews with these guests. So sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Hi, my name is Jeremy Haskell. I'm with jobsintheus.com, and I'm here at the Samerset Inn and Resort in Rockport, Maine for the 18th annual Maine HR Convention. Each year, this event brings together HR thought leaders from around the state as well as around the country to share and learn in our changing world of work. We'll be posting videos on our YouTube channel, and you can follow along on our Twitter feed with the hashtag MEHRC2013. Glad that for those that can be here, and for those that cannot, please follow along in our digital media console as well as, you know, through the social media channels. Thanks again for being here, and here's to the fun.
Many of you know, Memric is a mutual insurance company writing workers' comp in the state of Maine. We also write EPLI, Employment Practices Liability Insurance, for both large and small employers. We are writing about 62% of the Maine market right now. So about 62% of you guys are our customers. And we're really happy about that, so thank you. In Maine, as well as in, we are licensed to write in every other state. We currently have policies in about 40 other states. We can also write in D.C. It's a great position to be in right now. We're celebrating our 20th year. In 2012, we had the opportunity to add two more offices outside the state of Maine. We opened one in Weehawken, New Jersey, and in West Conshohocken, Pennsylvania. A month ago, I opened an office in Tampa, Florida. And last week, I inked a lease for Tyson's Corner, Virginia. So Memric is definitely on the move. This is really great for us. It's great for all of you as well, because it makes our company even stronger. Last year, we gave back $19 million to more than 19,000 policyholders in dividends. That's an increase of $1 million from the year before. So all of our outside activity is making us a really strong mutual insurance company. And in fact, at some point, we certainly suspect that the growth outside the state of Maine is going to surpass the premium size that we have inside the state of Maine. I don't think it will take 10 years. So that's really good. It goes a long way to support what happens in your workplace. We're really proud to be a lead sponsor here so that we can help to promote healthy and safe workplaces, and I know that makes your job a lot easier. Over the next couple days, we'll have our safety management consultants here at our booth, which is right inside the first floor after you come down the stairs. Rod Stanley, Beth Stoll, and Hartley Webb will be joining us for the next couple days, so please stop by and see them. We're really excited to be here. It's our 20th year. We are celebrating our 20th anniversary. And we hear that Bud is celebrating his 18th. You're right behind us, buddy. With 840 people here. So congratulations, Bud. We're really happy to be here to sponsor this event, and we're glad it's continuing to grow. So thank you.
Joined now by Catherine Lampson, who's the Chief Administrative Officer and Senior Vice President with MEMIC, who is a lead sponsor of this year's event. So thank you for your support. Now, MEMIC's been involved with the HR Convention for a long time.
We have.
What keeps bringing you back?
Well, you know, this is coincides really well with the mission of our organization. We look to provide a safe and healthful work environment. What better place to do it than with the HR people? Just about every HR person in Maine is here at this convention or helped to provide a venue so that HR people can make a difference. The title of our convention is Making a Difference. So we are proud to be here to be in support of that. We all learn new things. We all take them back. Makes it better and healthier work.
Fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're pleased to do that. Good. Like I appreciating the support, and that kind of stole my thunder, but the theme of the convention being making a difference. What are some of the key challenges that you're seeing that you're able to help your clients to overcome?
You know, we all go to work to make a difference. We all go to work. We bring our best to provide a service and so forth, and I think, you know, being here at this convention gives us some of those tools to take back to make sure our employees are engaged. That they are accountable and that they feel as though they've been rewarded, recognized for their contribution every day. And we need to do that.
Absolutely. That makes a lot of sense, particularly in today's work marketplace. What are some of the big challenges that you find as you going up against them and making those things happen?
You know, for some organizations, I think the challenge is finding the talent. For whatever their business is, you got to have the right talent. You have to have people who want to be there, who want to contribute to your organization, who are committed to your mission. You know, a lot of us and a lot of organizations are particularly driven by mission. Everything goes back to the mission. Are you delivering on your promise? I like to think that we deliver on our promise. I think our policyholders are satisfied that we do deliver on our promise. And, you know, coming to places like this, to gather information, new techniques, tools, see how the workplace is changing, and take those things back to our organizations.
Great.
And make improvement.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Well, thank you very much for your support, and glad to have you here.
Well, thank you. We're glad to be here.
To welcome everybody here to the 18th annual Maine Sherm State Convention. Thank you for attending the conference, and I am confident that you'll enjoy your day with us, a couple days with us, and maybe even some of you will be here for the entire week. Today is the time to celebrate top achievers in the HR profession, leaders who are leaving their legacy in Maine's HR community. We have one award to present today, Maine's HR Leader of the Year. The selection committee carefully evaluated the nominations before choosing one leader to stand out among all of us. This year, we will also be recognizing a major accomplishment or initiative from several individual SHRM chapters in the state of Maine. Being involved in a local chapter allows volunteers to showcase their talents and skills, both individually as volunteer leaders and as team leaders and team members involved in core leadership areas. If you're not currently actively involved in a chapter, please consider some level of chapter engagement, whether it's regular attendance at monthly membership meetings, working with a core leadership area, or are being involved in the board, the work is rewarding, and you will be the one giving back to your HR community in so many ways. Before we begin the award ceremony, I do want to say a few words about the SHRM Maine State Council, the programs we make available to HR professionals in the state. The council is an affiliate of SHRM, and we're celebrating our 13th year. This is our lucky 13th year. We're a group of about 30 volunteer leaders who serve together to actively promote the many resources we make available through the SHRM Maine State Council. 7 local chapters, the Diversity Hiring Coalition, and we do this to 1,000 HR professionals who are SHRM and or chapter members in the state of Maine. Our purpose is to serve the HR professional and advance the HR profession in Maine through the various state council events, such as our endorsement of this HR convention with the theme Making a Difference. We have an impressive list of keynote speakers, educational sessions with HR certification, institute certification credits, networking opportunities, exposition hall, chapter dinners, a lobster bake. Are we doing a lobster bake?
Yeah.
We are doing a lobster bake. Okay, just checking. Entertainment, a bookstore, silent auction, and more, including the HR awards, to kick off this wonderful event this year.
Thank you. As you know, the theme for this year's convention is Making a Difference. And there's really little more important towards getting there than the integrity we have as people, and that's true whether you're talking about at home, or work, or at school. It's that integrity that leads to the building of trust, and trust provides the opportunity for change. During his tenure as a federal court judge, Maine Senator, and U.S. Senate Majority Leader, George Mitchell built such a reservoir of trust. Presidents Clinton and Obama have called on him for his services, and it's allowed him to be present at some of the key moments in recent history, sometimes in the role of investigator, sometimes as mediator, sometimes as trustee. For example, the oversight of the Red Cross's 9/11 fund, the investigation into Olympic bidding improprieties, Penn State, the peace process in the Middle East, the ongoing peace process in the Middle East, the investigation into performance-enhancing drugs in Major League Baseball, and the peace process in Northern Ireland. And it's his work in nurturing the Good Friday Agreement that's kind of a jumping-off point to our discussion today. Senator Mitchell may tell you a little more about that during the course of his discussion, but for now, here's a little clip of his recent trip to Northern Ireland, courtesy of the BBC in London, that demonstrates his journey with his son 14 years after the signing of the accords. I think you'll agree that it shows why people of all ages, all backgrounds, all political persuasions trust Senator Mitchell, call him our friend, and respect him, and why we're all so fond.
Well, thank you very much, Bud, for inviting me, for the really wonderful introduction. Thank all of you for being here and for your warm reception. It's always a pleasure for me to be in Maine, to meet and talk with many friends from the past. That was a very moving experience for me. And before I talk about Maine and education, I want to welcome the young students here. Where are all the high school? What, are you high school students?
Yes.
But you all stand up. We'll see who's here from the high schools. I'll digress from what I was going to say because I was not aware that this was going to be used in the introduction until a few minutes ago, and put in context some of what you just saw on the screen. I spent 5 years in Northern Ireland chairing several negotiations and discussions, all of which were very difficult. There was, as you saw, a lot of violence. A lot of people were killed, badly injured, and there was a lot of destruction. It was a very long and mostly discouraging process, but it turned out well, which taught me the lesson which we need to keep reminding ourselves and which young people should be constantly aware of, is that there are a lot of setbacks in life. You're not going to succeed in everything you do. You're going to regularly fail, from a test to a relationship to a job to everything else. The real challenge in life is to learn from the setbacks, but not to be deterred or paralyzed by them. Get up the next day and go at it again. We got a peace agreement in Northern Ireland after I was told no, not once, not 10 times, but more than 100 times. And every time we were told no, we started out again the next day, try to put it back together again, and ultimately we succeeded. And so can each of you, high school students and others. So long as you aim high, commit yourself to what you're doing. Don't be afraid of taking a chance, because if you don't take a chance, you'll never succeed at anything. And don't be deterred by a setback.
And I'm joined now by Stephanie Runyon and Katie Batten from the Human Resources Certification Institute. So, welcome. Glad to have you here.
Great.
So, what is part of your role or your meaning for being here this year?
Well, what we're doing this year, we've actually gotten a speaking slot this year to talk to different individuals in the industry about the value of becoming certified in the HR industry, specifically with the PHR, SPHR, and GPHR credentials. So it's very exciting, and we're really happy to be here this year.
Fantastic. Now, there's a lot of buzz at these events, about what is the strategic credit and general credit. So what are some of the things that you're really able to do here and the benefits to the members?
Yeah, the entire conference was pre-approved for recertification credit, and just having the event overall pre-approved really helps to take the guesswork out as far as individuals having to go through the recertification process every 3 years. So this conference did secure a lot of specified credit hours and general credit hours. So the specified credit hour requirement is for our SPHR credential holders and GPHR credential holders, and then everyone also has the general credit requirement as well. So it's fantastic.
So what are some of the real benefits of becoming certified? I mean, you see a lot of folks that can come around, they are members of SHRM and they are doing those things, but not everyone has the PHR.
Well, some of the benefits, there are a number of different very important things in the industry. There's a lot of statistics that we've actually pulled recently as far as employers said that individuals who are certified have a greater chance of being employed in the job market. And there's also been a huge surge lately of there being requirements on a job, on a job description or a job application that you have to have your PHR or SPHR to even be a contender for a position. So I think it just goes to show that it's being recognized nationally at this point, and a lot of employers and executives in the industry know exactly what the certification is.
I also think it's really important also because, with the job market, especially the different regions where you may reside in, if there's four or five people applying for the exact same position and they all have their master's in human resource development, but there's one or two of them that also carry one of our certifications, it sets them apart as another way to vie for that position.
Great. Well, we certainly appreciate you folks being here and helping out with our members, and hope you enjoy the rest of the conference.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Joined now by Cy Wakeman, who is a keynote speaker, actually putting on two talks this year. And this is your second trip to Maine. So
second trip. Fabulous place.
No, glad to have you back. Now, last year you were talking about realities-based leadership.
Right.
Your book then, and you recently released the Reality-Based Rules of the Workplace. So tell us a little bit about kind of what you discovered in writing the second book.
It was interesting as I took out reality-based leadership, the concepts to leaders, and really got them doing some things that really helped move their teams forward. They consistently asked me, do you have a book for employees? I'll explain it to them, but is there something we can give them that would be better? And so I started to write the book and researched What would help employees? And probably the biggest thing I discovered is most people believe that if they're going to produce results at work, they think it's at the cost of their own well-being. Mm-hmm. And what we found out is the very same thing that creates great results really increases and enhances your own happiness at work. Yeah. So it's a win-win.
It makes a lot of sense. There's obviously a lot of talk in the world of HR and the world of work about engagement.
Right.
And you talk a lot about how engagement's really a choice.
It really is. Yeah. You know, we went on search of accountable people, and we found a way to measure someone's accountability. And then we asked them things like, what's your view on engagement? And they really talked to us about it. They said engagement's a choice. It's nice when we have great environments and great circumstances and we're rewarded for what we do. It's always good. But whether or not we're engaged, it's a choice. And so we found that accountability has a lot more to do with engagement than one's circumstances.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. Obviously being a job board, we talk about people about their employment brand and creating a great place to work so you can attract that talent. And I like the notion you talk about engagement being a choice of the employee. But you also talk a little bit about how it's almost systemic that we've created this kind of...
It really is.
So what are some of the big challenges that we as people need to overcome about, not letting our circumstances dictate our station, I guess you'd say.
One of the things that I find is that so many people have come to believe that their happiness is related to their circumstances. And so when they're stressed or unhappy, they immediately think it's their circumstances causing them their misery. Like, this job's too big, or it's too complicated, or expectations are unrealistic. And to be accountable and really get a hold of that, people need to realize they're not at the mercy of their circumstances. And one, the first step I tell people to do is really check your story, because it's not our circumstances, but the story we tell ourselves. It's not that our expectations increased at work, it's that we're telling ourselves they're unrealistic, it shouldn't. And once we realize we're just being asked to grow and develop, the pain goes away. And then secondly, we need to know the stress is not us being asked to grow, it's that our new circumstances are revealing where we haven't yet grown. And so really using any time you're stressed or in pain as the invitation to grow beyond that, so that you're immune, you're bulletproof.
Right, absolutely, makes a lot of, obviously circumstances have changed very much.
Exactly.
The economy that we're just coming through and going through those things, so.
And we're trying to use old skill sets for new realities.
Exactly.
And it's the old skill sets that are painful, not the new reality. It's the mismatch.
There you go. Couldn't have said it better. Thanks very much for joining us. Enjoyed your talk this morning, and we'll
Thanks,
see you again
Jeremy.
Tomorrow.
Great to see you.
All right.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Hi, this is Peter Boldick at Harvest Hill Farms. For those folks who are looking for healthy eating alternatives, we have been raising natural range-fed beef and poultry right here in the great state of Maine for over 15 years. Let us introduce you to our Never Ever program. Our animals are never ever introduced to growth hormones or antibiotics, only raised as nature intended. We are conveniently located on Route 26 in Mechanic Falls. To find out more, call us at 998-5485 or go to our website, harvesthillfarms.com. That's harvesthillfarms.com.
Are you frustrated with medical care today? Does it make you angry that your doctor spends more time looking at the computer screen than at you? Does it seem like your doctor is out the door in 5 minutes? There is a better alternative. At Champy Family Practice, Dr. Michael Champy and his dedicated staff make taking care of patients their priority. They are a cash-friendly, direct-pay practice, which is the perfect option for people with no insurance, high deductibles, and health savings accounts. Unlike other practices, they post their prices in the office and even online. Get modern medical care delivered the old-fashioned way. For more information, call ChampyFamilyPractice.com. That's C-I-A-M-P-I. Or call 774-1222. Champy Family Practice is located at 380 Lincoln Street in South Portland. Champy Family Practice. Continuing a tradition of medical excellence in Greater Portland since 1959.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts, stoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Established in 2009, CrossFit Cascabe is Portland's most experienced strength training facility. CrossFit is the principal strength and conditioning program for many police academies, elite special forces, champion martial artists, housewives, children, and everything in between. At CrossFit Cascabe, you'll be able to reduce stress, manage weight and body composition, enhance physical strength and endurance, improve flexibility, and recover from injury or illness in a safe environment. The time is now. Stop in for a free demo. For more information, please visit CrossFitCascabe.com. CrossFit Casco Bay, forging elite fitness.
And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. At the Maine HR Convention, an announcement was made. The Maine HR Leader of the Year was announced. Listen now to learn who the winner is.
Congratulations to all our chapters for making a difference every day. As Deb mentioned, I'll be presenting one award today to a dynamic HR leader. But before I do that, I want to thank the selection committee for their time and careful consideration of the HR leader nominees. They had the tough job of picking just one professional out of a state filled with excellent leaders. And hopefully this works. Oh, it does. The HR Leader Award recognizes an active Maine human resource professional who exemplifies excellence in the HR profession. This leader is an active SHRM member, working in Maine, has a proven track record of service to the HR community, demonstrated advancement to the HR profession, and is a strategic leader, partner, and role model in the broader business and community in which we live and work. So the selection committee had their work cut out for them. Maine has amazing leaders, and the nominees for the HR leader reflected the quality and caliber of excellence that exist in our profession. So this year's winner is co-chair of Maine's Diversity Hiring Coalition, working strategically with New Hampshire's Diversity Coalition, a volunteer at Windham's Correctional Facility, as an interview coach, a consummate HR professional with proven track record of success within her organization, a volunteer ski instructor for Maine Adaptive Handicap Program, PHR recipient. Due to her diligent efforts, her firm has been a best places to work for 3 years running. Join me in congratulating our 2013 Maine State Council HR Leader of the Year, Mary Beth Turcotte. Congratulations, Mary Beth.
Thank you very much.
And congratulations again to all nominees and to our chapters for the great work they do. Together, Maine has an outstanding HR profession, making a difference every day. Enjoy the remainder of your conference.
I'm joined now by Susan Post, who is the Eastern Region Director for SHRM.
Hi.
So Susan, thanks for being here. Glad to have you back.
Oh, thanks for having me. This is one of my favorite conferences, so I'm really pleased to be back and actually be able to stay for the entire event this year. That doesn't always happen with my crazy schedule.
Yeah, well, we are certainly glad to have you here.
Yeah.
Now, the theme of the conference is HR making a difference this year. So what are some of the ways that you're seeing in your role as the Eastern Region Director that SHRM is really making a difference in the workplace today?
You know, I think it's just so important. The work that our volunteers and our leaders do at the local level really helps support some of the work we're trying to do nationally and globally. I think some of the things around education, around the skills gap, and some of the problems that organizations are having finding and getting good talent. Certainly employee engagement is an issue, especially as the economy rebounds. It's sometimes difficult to hold on to the good people that you have. And again, between what SHRM is doing nationally and the partnerships we have with our chapters and our state councils, it really helps us get the word out, get education, so that HR people can really have all the tools they need to address those challenges and just do a great job.
Yeah, absolutely. We certainly are at a challenging time coming out of the Great Recession, if you will, and
yes,
all these types of things that are changing. Now, obviously, we've got a pretty strong event here in Maine, and
yes,
a lot of many active chapters. What is the difference you see here in Maine that really
creates this kind of level of activity and enthusiasm?
Well, you know, we have 11 states in Maine, and we have 11 states in the Northeast, and Maine actually puts on the largest annual state conference that we have in our entire region. You know, we have big states like Pennsylvania, like New York, but because I think of the long-term partnership they've had with Bud and his team, you know, this is an amazing event that honestly rivals some of the national conferences. You know, he gets in, you know, speakers that are nationally known and are just wonderful. He is a real partner with the chapters and promotes them. You know, I think the education sessions, he gets the most strategic credit that I've ever seen for recertification purposes. And it's just, you know, it's like the HR event in the state. And, you know, that's why I'm glad I'm here and I'm happy to be part of it because, you know, everybody up here does a great job.
Great. Well, we are certainly glad to have you a part of it as well. And we appreciate your time. So enjoy the rest of the conference.
Okay, you too. Thank you so much, Jeremy.
Joined now by Pamela Green, who is the former chief member officer for SHRM, and now you got a new initiative going on, the Power Project Institute.
That's right.
Tell me a little bit about what you got going on.
So what we're doing with the Power Project Institute, I actually left SHRM in September of, what was that, last year, 2012, to launch my own company, and the purpose of Power Project Institute is basically, it's really simple, to help companies achieve success through people. And so we do that through coaching, career development, training and development. I do some consulting and some training. So a number of different things that we do to try to help companies achieve the type of success they need, but to work with people and through people so that they can see the results that they want and that the individual can also receive the respect and the recognition that they're looking for. It's a partnership, and we bring those two together.
Great. It sounds like a very interesting program. Yes. What are some of the big challenges that you find yourself facing with your clients? Are there any kind of common themes that you're seeing with people?
Oh, wow. I think some common themes are individuals are looking for more, greater responsibility. And they're trying to figure out a way to get that through traditional means, but it's not working because they want to move at a pace slightly faster than the company is looking for. So what I'm seeing are companies who want to continue to do some of the same thing they've been doing and expect some different results, and some individuals who want to try some new and innovative things, and it's clashing a little bit with some of the culture of today. So companies are having to transition a little bit, and so are some of the individuals.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, expectations are certainly changing as well as the processes, and it certainly can be challenging for some folks. But what are some of the great opportunities that you've been able to see as you face some of these challenges and get people to overcome? What are some real kind of winning opportunities that you've had?
You know what, for me, I've been working with a couple of companies that have asked that I keep their identity private for competitive reasons, which is, that was new for me because I thought companies wouldn't mind me saying, hey, I work for XYZ company. But there are some companies that say, you know, we don't want our competitors to know that we've got a secret agent. So that's fun. But on the business side, what is fun and exciting is I didn't think that there would be as great a need for coaching as there is right now. And I'm coaching some executives in various, in marketing and finance and HR and you name it, IT. And these are individuals who are at the top of their game, who are looking for a way to rebrand themselves or to position themselves to do better, greater, more exciting things with their career. So that really kind of tossed me a little bit. I thought I'd get a few more clients that are looking at more training and development, though I'm doing a little bit of that. Mostly what I have is companies who call me and say, we have a real star performer and we want to keep this person. Pam, can you spend some time with them? They've requested it, we're requesting it, and it's a real nice partnership. So that's something that kind of, I was a little surprised by that.
Oh, that sounds great. Well, we first met in Vermont last year, and we're glad to have you here in Maine, and I think we're going to see you this fall as well. Aren't we at Strategic?
I'm going to try to be there. I'm not sure if I'm going to make it at Strategic, but that's my goal.
All right, fantastic. Well, we're glad you're here today. Thank you very
much.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Go HR.
Fantastic. And I'm joined now by Susie Humphreys, who came all the way up from Texas.
Yes, I did.
And you've been here in the past, and this is your time back.
Well, I think this is my third time back.
Your third time back. Yes. And you're going to do a talk today on HR Can Do That, and the author of All Else Fails Last.
Yeah.
So give us a taste. What's the essence of your talk?
The essence of my talk is that it isn't life that gets me, it's my reaction to it. So I don't care what your job is, I don't care what you do. If you have your relationships and your house in order, and you're good to the people that you love, when you leave every morning and go to the office, that's the attitude you'll take with you. So it's not about the world getting me, it's about my own doubt and fear. And if I'm nice and I'm smiling and I'm happy, and then if I realize that every day I wake up and I'm used for a greater good, that's to help others. So if I'm helping somebody in the office or in the workforce that's having a hard time, I need to connect with them. I need to care about them. They need to be more than just a name on a piece of paper.
Absolutely. That sounds like some very solid advice. It sounds like something that people think about each day.
No, people don't think about it each day. That's the problem.
What's the challenge? What keeps people from doing it?
You get up every morning, put your feet on the floor, and you say, show me how I can be used today. And when you walk out the door and you've said, told your husband or your mate or your partner that you love them and that you can't wait to see them tonight, you know what happens? When you walk out that door, you like yourself. And if you like yourself, that's the attitude that you take with you to the office. So you do the things that make you happy. And pleasing others is one way it makes us happy.
That is fantastic.
That's it in a nutshell.
That's it in a nutshell. Well, I am very much looking forward to your talk this afternoon, and I guess if all else fails,
wow.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Susan.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you.
I'm joined now by Aaron Christopher and J.C. Cole from Teen Truth, who delivered a very powerful keynote this morning. So tell us a little bit about Teen Truth.
Well, Teen Truth was started after the Columbine incident that happened in 1999. Aram is a film director and I'm a film producer, and we got together just because we felt that no one was giving kids a voice, and we really felt that we could give kids a voice through Teen Truth.
And basically what started by giving five diverse students video cameras eventually turned into a film that sparked a movement and empowered us to want to give more students cameras. So now we have three student shot films and then turn it into a live experience that we basically bring into schools, communities, organizations across the United States and Canada. And now we're even starting to do companies, corporations, nonprofits, and it's just grown into something that we never could have imagined it would be.
And because it was kind of born out of Columbine, we focus a lot around bullying and how we treat each other. We all see drugs and alcohol issues and self-esteem issues, but really just looking at the issues and the pressures that affect us as humans and empowering us to make connections in life to help be the difference in other people's lives, to help alleviate those issues.
Excellent. Very, very powerful message. And as you mentioned, giving students a voice to obviously a very important thing to do. What led you to bring it to places like an HR convention? How did that transformation happen?
Well, we've been traveling into schools for the last 7 years now, just about 7 years. And what we found is that the school is essentially a really tight-knit community. But oftentimes that community can start to break down. And we're finding a lot of similarities of what we see in a school community in an organizational community such as a corporation. So we're taking some of the things that we've learned from analyzing these communities and applying those same principles to how we see companies that can kind of break down if the individuals in those communities get disconnected, just like a student can get disconnected from the school.
And really, the bullying that we're seeing at companies when we work with them is no different than what we see at a school. It's just in the case of a company, it can be so much worse because it's affecting someone's career, their job, their life. It might be affecting their family. They might be losing their family because of it. So a lot of our messaging is geared around getting people to understand that we as humans, we deal with pain and hurt in our life, and the easiest way for us to work through that pain is to have relationships and to be connected with other people in our community.
It's a wonderful message. I'm very glad you guys are able to join us. How can people find out more about Teen Truth?
You can go on our website at teentruth.net. You can also find us on Facebook by searching Teen Truth. And all the information about our programs, about our films, and even our partners are all on our Facebook and on the website.
Great. Thank you guys very much for being
thanks
here.
For having it's a
pleasure.
Awesome.
Thanks for having us, Jeremy.
MaineNewsSimply.com wants to celebrate the businesses that make Maine great. Businesses like yours. We're looking for innovative, interesting companies to feature on the Mimic Spotlight on Business. Simply log on to MaineNewsSimply.com and look for the link to share your company's unique story. MaineNewsSimply.com delivers headlines from over 50 of Maine's most respected news sources. The Mimic Spotlight on Business is a business profile series co-sponsored by Verrill Dana and Time Warner. Free, concise, timely. MaineNewsSimply.com, the easiest way to stay on top of the business news that matters in Maine.
Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit, make a plan, Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Geico says, let's make life simpler.
Look, I'm all for modern conveniences. But ask yourself, do you really need a blender with 23 buttons just to chop an onion? At Geico, we think life should be simpler. So we make it super simple to save on car insurance. Just one click and you could be on your way to saving hundreds. Come on, people. Life doesn't have to be that complicated.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Packers.
Vikings.
We come from different places.
Uptown.
Downtown.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But when we live united, we make a real difference in the building blocks of life. Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly so do our communities. Real change won't happen without you.
Live united.
So give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Sign up today at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
And you're listening to the HR Power Hour. And we're talking now with Bud Bernstein. New England Law Publishers or MaineHR.com. Bud, thanks for being on the show.
Oh, a pleasure, David, always.
We were just at the great Maine HR Convention for 2013. I got to tell you, just a great job as always. Excellent job. But one of the things that you brought up was this rehabilitation of an HR professional, Heather Abbott. And we're going to play the video clip, in this case the audio clip, I should say, that was done by CNN of a conversation with her and the reporter. And could you give us the information on this, the behind-the-scenes backlight?
Yes, indeed. Well, Heather Abbott is just a spectacular HR professional, a friend of ours from Rhode Island, where she works for Raytheon. And she has a great reputation in SHRM circles for her work and responsibility as an HR manager. She was one of the individuals on Boylston Street a few weeks back and was injured in the bombing and made a very courageous decision to have her foot amputated. It was a difficult medical call, you'll hear through the discussions, but what you'll hear is just the power and conviction behind this person who is not looking back, but only looking forward. And so we just thought, since our convention theme this year was Maine HR making a difference, that this young woman, Heather Abbott, has made a difference in so many people's lives as they've worked through the corporate environment, as they've gone through HR processes at various companies where she's worked, that it's time we indeed made a difference in her life. So we showed the video, which is an interview with Anderson Cooper and her soon after her injury. We show that to the audience, and we encouraged our friends and audience to make donations on her behalf, which you can do by going to gofundme.com/Heather Abbott.
And that's HEATHERABBOTT, correct?
That is it.
Okay, great. You know, we're going to play the clip right now, and then we'll be right back after that clip.
Can you tell me about what you remember from that day?
Yeah, that day I came up to Boston with a group of friends to watch the Red Sox game and then go watch the runners on the finish, close to the finish line at a bar called Forum. And I remember when we got to the bar, the bouncer was standing at the door taking people's IDs, and my two girlfriends were in front of me. I was the last one in line, and our other friends were already inside the bar. And we heard a loud noise. Everybody, I think all of us, turned around. I know I saw a lot of smoke. I saw people, crying and running, And I immediately thought it was some sort of a terrorist attack.
Because that was your initial thought?
It was, because it reminded me of something I saw on the September 11th events. Hmm. So before I could even think of what to do, the second blast happened, and I found myself catapulted into the bar on the ground.
So it actually lifted you up?
Yes.
And blew you through the entrance of the bar?
Yeah.
Wow.
It did, and I saw one of my friends in front of me, and everybody was just running towards the back of the bar, to the exit outside. And I remember thinking, like, is that the right thing to do? Like, what if there's another one? But as I started to think of that, I realized I couldn't move. I felt like my foot was on fire. I was in a lot of pain, and I couldn't stand up. Hmm. So I learned later. That I started crawling towards the exit, and I was just saying, "Somebody, please help me." Hmm. People kept running by, and a woman luckily heard me say it and came over and tried to give me a hand. She asked another woman to assist her, and they both were trying to get me to the back.
To the back of the bar.
To the back of the bar, and the exit where the outside was.
You said it felt like your foot was on fire. Did you check it out?
No, I felt like it was on fire, and I thought, if I look at it, I'm not going to keep going. It's going to scare me so much that I'm not going to move.
So you didn't even look down?
No, I didn't look down until I did look at one point when I was being carried down at the ground, and I saw a trail of blood.
What's going through your mind at a time like that?
I was just hoping I wasn't going to die. Mm. And then I get in that ambulance in time, and I also was in excruciating pain that I wanted to end. Mm.
Did anybody do a tourniquet at any point?
They did, yeah. They tied a belt around my leg. My friend Tommy gave his belt, and they tied it around my leg. And I remember that hurting a lot.
Mm. But it's essential to stop the bleeding.
Right, yeah.
So they put you in the ambulance?
They put me in the ambulance. I remember them putting an IV in me and cutting my clothes. And I later learned that my clothes were sent to the FBI. Hmm.
Because you were so close?
Yes.
So you get to the hospital. At what point did you learn about your injury?
I don't think it was until the next day when I woke up from the anesthesia.
What did they say to you when you woke up the next day?
They told me I had a very serious injury to my foot, that my ankle was broken, all the little bones in my heel were broken, there was some tissue damage, and that they would be doing another surgery to really get in there and take a good look at it and determine whether they'd be able to save it or not.
And you were presented with a choice, mm-hmm. About whether or not to try to keep your foot.
Right.
I can't imagine being presented with that choice.
I couldn't have imagined it until I was faced with it myself.
So in the end, you decided to let them take off the foot?
I did.
When you made the decision, was it what were you feeling?
There almost wasn't a choice. Because the way they described my life being with the option of keeping the foot, I couldn't imagine having a life where I really couldn't do anything for myself. So I really never doubted the decision.
And how do you feel now?
I still feel as though I made the right decision. I think the rehabilitation is going to be difficult. I mean, it's going to be a lot of work. But I made progress every day. So I feel confident that, eventually I'll get there.
You got a great attitude.
If I didn't, I won't get to where I want to be.
Do you think a lot about that day, or do you prefer not to think about it?
I prefer not to think about it. I haven't focused a lot of energy on recounting the events. I think at first I did a couple times, what if I had gone with the first crowd of people that went over to the bar? Maybe this wouldn't happen to me. What if I decided that I wasn't going to go to the game this year? And I think I did that for a little while before I said, well, what if anything? That's not what happened. Mm-hmm. This is what happened, and this is what you have to deal with.
And you're dealing with it.
I am.
I'm so impressed by the people who rushed in to help, mm-hmm. people like yourself, who, took off their belts and tied tourniquets. And
yeah, that I think, from this experience, my initial, takeaway has been that that people will do things that you would just never expect them to. I mean, the folks who actually got me out there, got me outside and onto the ambulance, didn't know me. They had no obligation to help me. They were really putting their own lives at risk because they didn't know what was going to happen next.
Do you think about the people who did this to you?
I haven't thought about it yet. I just kind of want to stay focused on rehabilitating myself, and then maybe I'll learn those details later.
But that at this point, that's not important to you?
No.
Just getting better. Right?
Just getting better.
I wish you strength in the days ahead.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Heather Abbott, her spirit is so strong. A fund has been set up to help pay for Heather's recovery and the prosthetic devices she's going to need for the rest of her life. To make a contribution, go to GoFundMe.com/Heather Abbott. You can find that link, plus links to other victims' funds, on our website at AC360.com.
So that's quite a moving story, don't you think, Bud? I mean, quite a courageous woman for making that type of decision.
Yeah, and you know, as it ties into HR and the business world, you know, it's really all about accountability and responsibility. We had a keynote at the convention by the author Cy Wakeman. I believe she's been on your show a couple times, David, right?
Yes, and she's coming up again for talking about her new book, her second time
excellent.
It's coming up.
Yeah, and it's a great new book. And one of the metrics or measures of HR function that she is talking about is a new metric involving how you measure the accountability in an organization and in individuals and the role HR plays. And when we just stumbled across this tape of Heather, we said, well, wow, that just speaks volumes to her accountability and responsibility. I mean, you heard the clip, just the power of the decision she made, and that, you know, she said, well, maybe I shouldn't have gone to that game, but it doesn't matter. This is where I am. This is what I need. This is where I'm going.
You know, there's so much power behind that statement in terms of really understanding that accountability is the key area that needs to be measured today. In terms of really for HR professionals and how they deal with their managers and how managers deal with their team and just HR in general, that I think that this is a great way to, if you want to say, help and go out there and raise some funds for it. So again, Bud, where can they go to donate to help the rehabilitation of this young woman?
Yes, very simple. GoFundMe.com/Heather Abbott. And that's ABBOTT.
But I want to thank you very much for being on the show today and talking about this great woman and this great cause. And again, we support yourmainhr.com. You guys have been a great sponsor and obviously put on a great event. And we'll see you very soon at the New England Strategic Show.
Oh, yes, David. Well, let's have a good summer in between.
Absolutely. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Next week on the HR Power Hour, we're going to talk to Keith Bowen. He's the Chief Executive Officer and in charge of Executive Leadership, Coaching, and Career Transition from Mullen & Associates, Lincolnshire in New York City. Thank you for listening and catch us every week at 2 p.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 AM or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.